Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about natural gas. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that natural gas has been the big sticking point for the EU in order for applying sanctions against Russia. A lot of countries in Europe are still dependent on Russian gas, and they can't get away from that dependence. However, in today's video, I want to tell you about some really interesting developments that have happened over the last couple of months, and specifically with regards to providing LNG regasification facilities on ships. And this is predominantly coming from Norway, but also we're seeing some of this technology coming out of Greece. So in today's episode, I'll give you a quick recap on where we are right now with regards to the provision of gas from Russia. We'll talk about Germany and Italy specifically, because both of those countries have now announced deals that could provide the breakthrough in terms of breaking away from Russian gas. We'll then have a look at what's going on with the new pipeline that's being provided from Norway directly into Europe. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, over the course of the rest of 2022, and how close Europe is to being able to switch off those Russian gas supplies and then apply even more sanctions against Russia. So before we get started on all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content. And also, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push for 100,000 subscribers. It's getting closer, but it's still some way away yet. So it'd be great if you could subscribe if you haven't done so yet. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in or you already know about, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and YouTube Super Thanks feature. And today I'd like to give a shout out to Fred from Norway, as he's been sending me lots of really useful information, particularly about what's been going on in Norway with regards to the LNG tankers. So thank you very much, Fred. Russia has the largest natural gas reserves of any country in the world, and currently it holds around 24% of the global supply of gas. Now, because Russia is close geographically to Europe and also it shares land borders with a lot of countries, it supplies a lot of countries with large amounts of natural gas. And in order to do that, it's installed a pipeline system all across Europe that enables the gas to be piped directly to each country in a gaseous form. And this is a really efficient way of delivering gas and also is the lowest cost way of doing it. As a result of these characteristics, a lot of countries in Europe have built up a large dependence on Russian gas supplies. And that's proving a big problem now for a lot of European countries, because they've come out and said that they no longer want to have any trading relationships with Russia, but they're still having to pay billions of dollars to Russia for the natural gas supplies. In response to the sanctions, President Putin came out on the 31st of March and stated that all unfriendly nations had to make future payments for gas in Russian rubles. Now, a number of countries came out and declared that they were not prepared to do that, and they've subsequently had their gas supply switched off. So far, we have seen Poland, Bulgaria, Finland, the Netherlands, and Denmark have their supplies completely switched off. And there are a number of other countries who are now under threat of having their supplies also terminated. The biggest two countries in Europe that are still taking their supplies from Russia are Germany and Italy. Both of these countries take around about 30% of their total gas requirement from Russia, and there are a couple of reasons why it's difficult to switch supplies. Firstly, from an economic perspective, the provision of gas via a pipeline directly into all of your facilities is really low cost, and to switch away from that is going to be expensive. But the bigger issue is the logistics, because the majority of the alternative suppliers are all located outside of Europe. And therefore, in order to buy gas from those countries, it needs to be liquefied, transported via the sea, and then regasified. And the problem with that is that you need to have regasification facilities. So you need to have a plant whereby you can convert the liquid back into its gaseous form under controlled conditions. And that's not easy to do overnight. However, in this video, I'm going to tell you about some really big steps forward that Germany and Italy have made over the last couple of months with regards to putting those facilities in place and being able to break away from the Russian ties. Germany is the world's largest importer of natural gas. In 2021, it imported 142 billion cubic meters of gas, and 100 billion cubic meters of that was used by German households. So this is why it's so important to maintain those supplies. And this chart shows the breakdown of where that gas came from. So you can see that 32% of the gas used came directly from Russia via the pipelines. 22% came from storage. So essentially, that's building up gas and then drawing it back down later. So some of that storage would also have come from the Russian pipelines. 20% came directly from a Norwegian pipeline. 12% came from a Netherlands pipeline. And 11% came from a pipeline from the Czech Republic. However, the Czech Republic sources the vast majority of its gas directly from Russia. It was one of three nations alongside Hungary and Slovakia that were recently excluded from the EU oil ban. And that's because the Czech Republic is landlocked and it's difficult to access energy supplies where it's located. So the summary here is that around a third of Germany's gas is supplied directly by Russia, but anything up to 50% of the gas on this chart originates from Russia. This map shows Germany's situation in Europe, and as you can see, it does have some coastline, but the vast majority of the country is landlocked. And so the scale and the situation of the country makes it more challenging to be able to replace the current supplies from Russia with alternative options. And one of the other problems that Germany has right now is that its storage is only around 30% full. So storage is obviously built up during the periods when there's less demand, and then you can draw back down on that. And the EU recently issued a directive to all of the countries in Europe to make sure that their storage was around 90% full before we go into the winter of 2022. Now, this was before Russia started switching off some of the countries, but at 30%, Germany doesn't have enough gas currently built up to be able to see it through the winter of 2022. And that's why it needs to keep taking the supplies from Russia right now. However, Germany has made great strides in being able to replace that Russian supply, and it's now signed deals with Norway and Greece to provide floating liquefied natural gas regasification ships. Germany has signed a lease agreement with a Norwegian shipping company to provide two ships that can each receive around 6 billion cubic meters of gas annually. In total, the amount of gas that this corresponds to equates to a quarter of the gas that Germany currently imports directly from Russia. The cost of this lease agreement is estimated to be around $1 billion. According to the agreement, the two special Norwegian ships will be ready to receive LNG before the winter of 2022 sets in. The ships will be located at purpose-built quays off the coast of northwest Germany, where many cargoes of LNG will be received. It's likely that the two ships will be situated close to large industrial areas to reduce the size of the pipelines needed to put the gas to work. The liquefied natural gas that Germany is going to be sourcing is likely to come from the USA, Qatar, and Norway. Italy imports large amounts of natural gas, and in 2021, imported 29 billion cubic meters directly from Russia. This map of Europe shows that Italy has extensive coastline, which in theory should make it much easier to set up floating liquefied natural gas facilities. In addition to the pipeline gas received from Russia, Italy also receives pipeline gas directly from Algeria and historically received pipeline gas from Libya, although there's been some issues with that supply because of the civil unrest that's been going on in Libya over the last few years. In terms of replacing the 29 billion cubic meters that Italy sources from Russia, Algeria has agreed to provide another 9 billion, so that reduces the requirement to 20 billion. And it's now been announced that Italy have signed two deals with Norway to provide floating regasification facilities. A $350 million deal has been signed to acquire Gola Tundra, which was a ship that was built in 2015 and currently operates as a floating storage and regasification terminal. The ship will be located in central or northern Italy, close to areas of high gas consumption, and is forecast to be operational by spring 2023. The ship has the capacity to store 170,000 tons of liquefied natural gas at any one time, and a full year capacity of 5 billion cubic meters of natural gas. In addition, Italy have agreed to buy Gola Arctic for $280 million. And this ship will be located on the island of Sardinia and be able to provide around 4 billion cubic meters of gas per year. Now, the timing of this vessel will be a bit slower because Golar Arctic needs to be rebuilt, and it's likely to take around 2 years before it's fully operational. If you follow the channel, you'll know I recently reported that Russia cut off all gas supplies to Finland, and Finland have not been hanging around, and they've signed a deal with Norway to provide one of these floating liquefied natural gas regasification and storage facilities. A deal has been signed with Accelerate Energy to lease the ship Exemplar, which will act as a floating terminal for supercooled liquefied natural gas. The deal is a 10-year lease agreement at a cost of around $500 million. The ship itself is almost 1,000 feet long and 140 feet wide, and has a storage capacity of 150,000 cubic meters, which means that it has the potential to produce around 4 billion cubic meters of gas per year. This ship was previously leased by Argentina and was used to provide LNG for the winter season. The ship will be located in southern Finland and receive LNG supplies 2 to 3 times per month. In terms of Europe being able to move away from purchasing Russian gas, it needs to build up its own infrastructure. So I thought it was worth having a look at what infrastructure is currently in place. This map shows the current LNG terminals in Europe, so you can see that we don't have anywhere near enough right now. Spain has the most, with 7 different terminals located at all different parts of its coastline. The UK has 3, as does Italy, and the Netherlands and France have 2. So in order to be able to move away from purchasing gas from Russia, this map needs to change entirely. We need to see a whole lot more of these LNG facilities being established all around Europe. But you can see the problem with regards to a lot of different countries. If you look at the main section of the map towards the right, you can see that there are a lot of countries in Europe that don't have very much coastline or any coastline, and they will rely upon gas being piped to them through the network of pipes that currently exists. This map shows the major pipelines that are currently in place all across Europe. So most of these pipelines are denominated in black. However, you can see that there are 2 yellowy-orange pipelines. They are the Nord Stream pipelines. The first one has been established and is operational, and Nord Stream 2, as you'll know if you follow the channel, was recently completed but has never been opened and is not operational and is unlikely to ever be operational going forward. The pipelines on the right-hand side of this map were predominantly constructed by Russia as a way of feeding its gas into Europe. As we move further left, some of the pipelines were built by each individual nation. But the bottom line here is that Europe will be able to use these pipelines. If the supplies are cut off from Russia, these pipes can be used to move gas in the opposite direction. So what Europe needs to do is establish LNG facilities all around the coastline, and then link those facilities directly into the established network of pipelines in order to be able to move gas to all of the places that need it. So the benefit that Europe has is that the infrastructure already exists. They just need to utilize it in a different way. They need to send gas back through the system so that it's going from left to right on this chart rather than from right to left, as it has been doing historically. Now, in addition to those established pipelines, we've also got some new infrastructure that's being constructed by Norway. This pipeline has been under construction for the last 3 years and is now connected to Denmark and Poland, who can buy gas from Norway. Poland is now working on a connection to Lithuania, and in addition to this pipeline, there is also another pipeline called the Balti Connector, which links Estonia to Finland. So what we're seeing here is a complete change to the infrastructure of natural gas in Europe, and all of the countries are working very rapidly on a way to exclude those purchases from Russia. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, so far in all of the reports that I've done, natural gas is the Achilles heel of Europe. It's causing them a major problem because everybody needs to keep those supplies coming from Russia until the infrastructure is in place to be able to switch out. And the problem that they've had in Europe is that it's not easy to replace gas that's coming in a pipeline with liquefied natural gas, because you need to actually regasify it before you can use it. And in order to do that, you need to have these ships or terminals in place. And then you also need to link up those terminals with the pipelines to be able to feed it through to all of your customers and consumers. So it's not a quick process. But I wanted to make this video today because we are seeing some rapid developments here. The Norwegians have come up with a really great way of being able to move these ships and to set up these regasification plants really quickly. And the more of those that are created and the more of those that are then situated all around Europe means that the dependence on Russian gas is falling all the time. And once we get to the point where Germany and Italy particularly can switch off those gas supplies, then that means that Europe can then switch on the next round of sanctions against Russia. And let's not forget, these sanctions have been put in place with a view to stopping the war in Ukraine. That's the main driver. So I wanted to make this video because I think it's really interesting that the Norwegians have come up with a really clever way of being able to solve this conundrum. How do you replace the supply of gas quickly and easily? And these floating liquefied natural gas regasification plants and storage facilities are a perfect way of doing that. Now, it's not cheap. It does cost hundreds of millions of dollars per ship, but it needs to be done, unfortunately. You know, the situation we are in, all of Europe is now fully committed to switching off those supplies from Russia, so they need to find alternative methods. And situating these ships all around the coast means that you can then feed that gas into the existing pipelines and everybody can continue receiving their gas, but from a different source than Russia. So Europe is now moving really rapidly towards the situation where it will be able to switch off those supplies. As soon as Germany and Italy get to the point when they've got enough storage and enough alternative supplies to get them through the winter of 22, then I think we will see the switch off and then we will see the next stage of sanctions being kicked in against Russia. And that's going to be a really interesting time because Russia needs to make sure that it's ready in terms of all of its new customers selling all of its energy products into Asia rather than in Europe. And that's going to require a lot of infrastructure because they will also need to turn most of their gas into LNG and ship it to all parts of the world. And I've already discussed in other videos about the logistical issues surrounding that. Are there enough ships in the world to be able to do it? Will Russia be able to find insurance for those ships? And will all of those countries still want to deal with Russia if secondary sanctions are threatened against them? So there's a lot of different factors that need to be weighed up here. And over the course of the next 6 to 12 months, we will see all of this unfolding because these sanctions are going to be in place even if the war finishes. I think Europe and Russia are permanently at odds now. I can't see this relationship being mended. So I think we're going to see these sanctions continue all the way through the rest of 2022 and into 2023. And in terms of what's the implications of all of this for the global economy? Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to tell you again that it's bad news because all of these things that are being done right now are all costing a lot more than the previous status quo. When everybody was receiving gas from Russia via pipelines, that was the lowest possible cost you can get in terms of natural gas supplies. To replace that with ships that are liquefied natural gas regasification plants involves buying LNG, which is more expensive because there's more production goes into it. You actually have to liquefy it and then put it onto ships and transport it. So there's lots of cost around all of that. Prices have gone up anyway because the demand for LNG is now much higher. And of course, there's also cost in terms of regasifying it and connecting it to the new pipelines. So all that additional cost is going to have to be fed back through into the system. So it will be passed on in the form of higher prices, or governments are going to have to provide bigger subsidies. So that means that they'll be taking the hit centrally, that means they'll have more debt, and that'll put more pressure on the economy. So overall, we're going to see the price of natural gas and electricity rising, and that will feed through into the cost of everything. So this is going to apply even more pressure to inflation, which means that we'll see potentially interest rates rising quicker. That's going to put more pressure on anybody that's got debt. That will reduce the amount of disposable income, and therefore we'll see a contraction in the economy. So overall, this is all bad news. It's good news that Europe is finding a solution to their problem of how do we move away from Russian gas, but ultimately it's bad news for the global economy. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when I hear them. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I am in conversation with a number of different creators, so the wheels are in motion. Hopefully we will see some of those videos being posted shortly. But if you're working on something, if you're thinking about doing something, if you're just maybe mulling it over, now's the time to start taking some action. Get out there, make those videos, do the filming, do the editing, make sure it's as professional and finished as possible, and then contact me and we'll get your video up onto the channel and let's see whether or not we can make you a YouTube star of the future. So thanks for watching this part of the video and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.